right. Good morning, Life Point Church. How's everybody doing today?
Fantastic.
A few people are good. That's cool. I'll take it. I don't know about you all, but I'm having a good day. It's beautiful outside, and we're here with our Life Point Church family. So, I mean, I don't know where else I'd rather be. So we appreciate you all being here, hanging with us, and choosing Life Point Church as your place of worship. Like I say, a lot of times, there's so many different churches in Louisville. There's a ton of them, one on every corner. And the fact that you're here at Life Point Church, man, we are thankful that you're here and that you choose to worship here and want to be a part of what God's doing. So thank you for being here. My name is Andy Driscoll. I'm the lead pastor here. And I'm excited to continue on with this current message series we're in called 30 Days. And it's kind of heavy. It's a heavy thought process, but it's critical and it's really important. But basically what we've been doing in this series, we're exploring just how drastically different our lives would be if we truly understood and embraced the fact that our time on earth is very limited. It's very short. A lot of times we think we're invincible, we think we have all this time left, but in reality, our time is precious. And we don't have as much time as we like to think that we do. I mean, thinking about if you found out the unfortunate news that maybe you only had 30 days to live, like how differently you would live your life. Would those last 30 days be, would you just continue doing the things that you're doing and living the way you're living, or would it be different? How would you be spending your time? What would you view as priority in your life versus what you do now? How would things be different? And that's what we're working through, and that's what we're exploring. So let's go ahead and kick things off today, as we have each and every week so far in this series, with our key scripture that we have. And it's found in Psalms chapter 39, and we're going to look at verses 4 and 5, where we see David calling out to God, and he says, "Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath." He's saying, "Man, Lord, remind me how brief life truly is so that I can live each day out with that in mind." James put it like this. He said, life is a mist, right? It's a vapor. It's here for a little while and then vanishes. And I like that because I'm a visual person, so I like to think of that mist. And, you know, week one I had a little mister and I sprayed it and it was gone, right? But you get that visual of truly how brief life is. That's what James is saying. It's like that mist. And so with this in mind, today in week three of this series, I want us to talk about the importance of leaving a godly legacy. The importance of leaving a godly legacy to where generations to come would say just incredible things about you based on how you're living, how you lived your life. And we need to think about that. I mean, how would the next generation, what would they say about you? Would they say that things that you would be proud of, that would make you feel good, that you would say, "You know what, I did a good job"? Or would they say other things? And you're sitting here thinking, "Yeah, I probably need to make some changes. I need to switch some things up." Are you leaving and on the right path today to leaving a godly legacy, or are you not? And I think that's something that we have to wrestle with, because life is brief. The reality is you are not promised tomorrow. You are not promised the rest of the day. So if you were to leave this earth today, what would your legacy be? Would you be proud of it? Or do you need to make some changes? For example, I want you to think about your parents. Think about your parents. Chances are, some of you, when you think of your parents, you're like, "Man, they made such an important and a huge impact on my life." And you have a lot of positive things to say about that. But others of you, maybe not so much. Maybe that's not the case for you. If I ask you, what would you have to say about your dad, for instance? If I asked you about your father, what kind of words of wisdom or valuable lessons did he pass on to you? Would you be able to say those things or not? Some of you would perk right up with a big smile on your face. I already saw some people nudging some people. You'd be like, man, my dad was awesome. Let me tell you about it. And then you would just tell story after story after story of all the wisdom and the good things that your dad imparted into you and encouraged you, inspired you. Because he left that legacy or is living that legacy. Others of you may be respectful and be like, you know, I mean, yeah, I guess he's a good guy. He works hard. He's a hard worker. Maybe some of you would have the exact opposite, and it would be more of a response of disgust. And you say, you know what? Man, I mean, my dad was kind of a jerk. Didn't really care. Nothing was ever good enough for him. And that's just, that was my dad. Or it could be like, hey, your guess is as good as mine because the dude ran out on me, you know, when I was 2. We all have different experiences with that, right? So what about you today? What kind of legacy are you setting up to leave today, right now? Not in 5 years, you're going to start living that legacy, but what kind of building blocks, what are you building as your legacy right now? Is it a godly legacy or is it something different? Again, I've been faced with how fragile life is a lot recently in these past several months. And so, of course, it gets me thinking about more and more about things like this, about how I'm living my life. What legacy am I leaving? And I've shared with you each week about my friend who recently passed away and lost his battle to cancer. And, you know, at his funeral, there was so many people there. I mean, it was packed. It was packed. And we sat in the back and heard story after story of what kind of godly man he was, how much he loved his family, and all the great work that he did, you know, here in Louisville, the reaching out to people and overseas, and all the different things that he did with his life in 34 years. And of course, I mean, I was sad and I was upset, but you know, I couldn't help but think, man, if this was my funeral, if I was in his position, would people be saying these things about me? What kind of legacy am I leaving? And that's something that we all have to explore and wrestle with because life is brief. It's brief. It's but a vapor. And so with that in mind, I want us to look at three different things that we all need to do to ensure that we're leaving behind a godly legacy. Three things. This is not the quick fix. This is a big change. These are things that you need to really dig in and implement, but it's the starting ground. If you're not leaving that godly legacy today, and you know that, I want you to pay attention to what we're going to talk about today and begin to take those baby steps to apply these things to your life. So the first thing that we see to help us begin to leave that godly legacy is that we need to say the words that God wants us to say. Say the words that God wants us to say. Man, words are powerful. They're powerful. Say the words that God wants you to say to the people that we love, to the people that we come into contact with every day, our coworkers, or just the next generation or whoever it is, but we're going to say the words that God wants us to say. I mean, I've heard so many stories of people who have lost someone in their life and they regret the fact that they didn't get to say this thing or they didn't clear this up. How many of y'all have heard a story like that or maybe you've experienced a story like that? Right. A lot of us have. I have an employee at work at Uspiritus right now who recently lost her cousin, and you know, and she's devastated about it. They were once roommates and they were really close, but something happened and there was a fallout. And she's just beating herself up because she never got to make things right. She didn't get to say the things that she needed to say. And she knew that she was battling an illness and she was trying to plan a trip to where she was at to tell her those things, but she waited and waited and waited. And unfortunately, she missed her chance because she didn't say the things that God wanted her to say when he wanted her to say them. And words are powerful. And I pray that you never find yourself in that situation to where you have those words that go unsaid. That you say the words that God wants you to say. I mean, there's a great example of this found in the Old Testament when Solomon, probably the wisest guy to ever live, he was breaking some things down, dropping some knowledge to his son, and he said this in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. He said, "My son, pay attention to what I say." So he's already alerting him, say, "Hey, I'm about to say some things, and you need to listen." Right? Fathers say those type of things. I've said that a bunch of times. Hey, listen to what I'm saying. Track with me here. He's saying, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they, being his words, are like our life to those who find them, and health to a man's whole body." That's how powerful these words are that he's about to say to his son. That he's about to give him something that could change his life forever if he would just listen to these words. And he didn't hold these words back, but he spoke them. He said the words that God needed him and wanted him to say. Verse 24, he said, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." That was the knowledge he was given to his son. And maybe his son needed to hear that in that moment, or that was going to be a radical transformation for him down the road, because it was important for him to say the words that God wanted him to say, for him to tell his son that above all else, guard your heart, for out of it is the wellspring of life. But you see, the problem is so many people, man, we don't do this. We don't say the words that God wants us to say all the time. For whatever reason, we don't. We don't say the words that need to be said. We don't say the words that someone else needs to hear, that they need us to say. I mean, as parents, I believe one of the most unfortunate results for my kids would be that if they didn't 100% know that I love them regardless. That they didn't 100% know without a doubt that I was going to be there for them regardless. That I believed in them. That I was proud of them. That they had what it takes. That they're worth loving. If they didn't know those things, if they were asked and they're like, I think he loves me. I would be an utter failure if they didn't know those things for a fact. Because you see, as parents, we have to make sure that we don't let any good or positive thought go unspoken. We're not going to let any good thought, positive thought about our kids go unspoken. We're going to tell it to them. What's the point of having a good thought of being proud of your kid if you don't tell them that you're proud of them? It's powerful. Words are powerful, and we've got to say the things that God wants us to say. We got to consistently speak that love and that truth over our kids' lives. They need it. They need us to speak correction over their life. Hello? We got to do that. Don't hold that back, because that's what's best for them. We got to say the things that God wants us to say. I mean, God models this for us in Matthew chapter 3. When Jesus was baptized, it says that God the Father opened up the heavens and spoke. And he said this to everyone that was listening. He said, "This is my son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." I mean, God said that about Jesus publicly, right? They loved him, that he was pleased with him. He was affirming Jesus as his son. He was saying those words that needed to be said. And just like we need to say this with our kids, we need to say this with everyone in our lives. We need to do that. We need to say the words that need to be said. We need to ensure that we're not letting any good or positive thing go unsaid with the people that are in our life. You never know what they need. You don't ever know when that one word or that one text will make a huge difference for their day, for their life. You don't know. It could be life-changing. A simple phone call of, "Hey, I'm thinking about you, and you got this. I'm proud of you. You've been working hard." You just don't know how powerful that might be to say those things. Man, it's something I've been really trying to do in my own personal life, because I realized that I was allowing my busyness to keep me from saying the things that God needed me and wanted me to say. I was letting my busyness stop that. So it can be annoying sometimes because I like to be busy and I like to be on the ground. I got so much going on. But if I have that good thought about somebody, man, I'm trying to like shoot, blast them a text real quick. You know, tell them something positive. I'm not going to let those good thoughts and those positive things go unsaid, unspoken. I'm going to call them up or I'm going to tell them. I've really been working on that. I need to do better, but I'm making progress. But we all have to make sure that we're saying the things that God wants us to say. Even if you struggle with sharing your feelings and your emotions, because I know some of you all are out there, you struggle with it. But you got to figure that out because it's really important. People need to hear those things. And you do it the way that you're created. It may look different than the way I do that, but make sure that you're not letting any of those positive things go unsaid and that you're saying the words that God wants you to say. The second thing that we all need to do to ensure that we're leaving a godly legacy, that we're setting the stage for that, is we want to do what God sent us to do. Right? We're going to actually do what it is that God sent us here, the reason, what he created us to do. Do what it is that he put us on this earth to do. Paul said it like this in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. He said, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." He said, man, my life is nothing if I'm not doing what it is that God created me to do, if I'm not living out his will every single day, if I'm not on the grind doing what it is that he wants me and needs me and sent me to do. Everything else is meaningless. Everything else is pointless. I just need to make sure that I'm telling people about Jesus. I'm telling them about the grace of God, the love of God, and I'm living that out every single day. And if I'm doing that, then I'm going to leave that godly legacy because I'm doing what it is that he called me to do. So the question for you today, and the one thing I want you to think about in this piece is, what is your unfinished assignment? What is your unfinished assignment? Not the person sitting next to you, because we all know that, right? We think we do, at least. Like, I know what they need to do. No, what is your unfinished assignment? What is it that you need to do? That you know deep down you're supposed to do, but you're just kind of sweeping it over here because you don't got time. What is your unfinished assignment? What did God send you here to do? And the reality is, I personally think that every single person in here has an unfinished assignment. Maybe two or three or four. But we at least have one unfinished assignment. Maybe it's with your job or your career, and you've kind of gotten sucked into this job that you know isn't exactly what God has called you to do. But for whatever reason, you're kind of stuck in it. You're comfortable, right? It's what you know. It's easy. It pays good, or whatever it may be. But you're stuck in this job all while knowing that you have these gifts and these talents and this passion in your heart that God has put there for a reason. But you just haven't pressed play on it yet. You haven't taken that leap of faith. What is that unfinished assignment? Maybe for you it's relational, right? Maybe there's someone in your life that's just really incredibly important to you, but man, your relationship's in the crapper. It's going down quick. It's not good. And you know that you got to make a change. You know that you need to do some things different. You know that you need to put in the hard work, make the sacrifices to restore that relationship. You know that you need to do that. God's leading you to do that. Yet we just haven't done it. What's that unfinished assignment? Maybe for you it's that you know someone who's in need, right? And you have the resources to meet that need. But you haven't met it yet. You haven't reached out to them yet. Maybe you know somebody that's hurting, right? They're just broken. They've got a lot going on. And man, they're just struggling. And you know God is leading you to reach out to them, to go love them, to go send them a text, or go just take them dinner or have coffee with them or just give them a hug and cry with them. You know, whatever it may be, God's leading you to do those things and you haven't done it yet. It's an unfinished assignment. Maybe it's that God has put on your heart to invite somebody here to Life Point Church or to begin that conversation with somebody about Christ. You know that you need to do that. You know that he's leading you to do that, but you're scared, right? You're nervous. What are they going to say? What are they going to think about me? Will this change our relationship? And we haven't engaged in that yet. We haven't taken that step. Maybe you need to lead your family spiritually. You got to step up. Maybe it's that there's a blog or a podcast or something that you know that you need to start, but you just haven't done it yet. What is that unfinished assignment that God is leading you to? See, you need to do that. You got to take that step in order to begin to leave that godly legacy because he's placed that in your heart for a reason. It's not by chance. He did it for a reason. I mean, it's an honor to be able to do that, to have a mission from Christ to be able to serve. And we need to do that. Do what it is that he's called us and sent us to do. Life is brief. And we want to leave that godly legacy. Right? So we're going to say the things and the words that God wants us to say. We're going to do the things that God sent us to do. And then finally, the third thing is we're going to live how God wants us to live. We're going to live our life every single day how God wants us to live. And that one's not easy, right? That's tough. That's staying on the ground every day, focused on the mission, focused on what it is that God called us and brought us to do. That's everything put together, all right? Saying the things we need to say, doing the things that he sent us to do. We've got to live how God wants us to live. Live in a way that honors and glorifies God. That's what we need to think about. We want to live that way. But to be completely honest, man, there is far too many people today that don't do this. There's far too many people that claim the name of Christ that aren't living it out. They know the Bible. They know about Jesus. They hear the word preached, right? They read it themselves, but they don't do what it says. Check it off their good Christian list, and they move about their business. They keep it moving. But in order for us to leave that godly legacy, we must do what God is telling us to do. We have to live out his word. We got to live how God wants us to live. James chapter 1, verse 22 says this, and this is, I think, the most well-known but powerful verse on this in all of Scripture. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do what it says. Don't deceive yourself. Don't think that you're something because you read the Bible or because you know the Bible. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of scholars out there that know a lot more of the Bible than anybody sitting in this room. But my question is, are they living it? We all see those Facebook gangsters out there that want to throw out scripture and try to judge everybody and show how knowledgeable they are, but are they living it? That's what I care about. And I think that's what God cares about. Right here. Don't merely listen to the word and deceive yourself. Do what it says. Please don't simply just listen to it. Put it into action. When you read his word or you hear it, man, receive it. Ingest it. Man, let it consume you. Let it speak to you. Let it challenge you. Let it convict you. Let it give you comfort and hope and peace and assurance. And all those things that God knows that we need, that his word will give us if we don't just merely listen, but if we do what it says. And see, the thing is as we begin to do and live what it says, you begin to change. You become different. Different in a beautiful way. Not in a crazy, sketchy, weird way. In a beautiful way. And what's really awesome about this is, man, people will take notice, believers and non-believers alike. they're going to take notice that there's something different about you. They're going to be like, man, I don't know what it is, man, but there's something special about this person, something different, something unique. Man, the way they carry themselves, the way they interact with other people, the wise choices that they make, the sense of peace that they have in tough and difficult and stressful times, and the way they love people regardless of who they are and what they're about. Man, there's just something about them. And I don't know what it is, but I can tell you one thing. I want to know, and I want that. It's infectious when we live out God's word, when we live his calling, when we live like Jesus. It's infectious. And people want it. And the next thing you know, the people around you are becoming to know Christ. They're coming to Christ. And then they have the peace and the joy and that eternal security that only comes through him, that forgiveness, that restoration. You begin to leave that legacy. But you have to be willing to do what it says, to live how he calls us and wants us to live. See, and then at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, and we take that final dirt nap, we'll be able to say, you know what? My legacy was godly. And the people that are left will see that, and they'll know that, and they'll celebrate that. And hopefully generations to come will be different because of your legacy. Scripture also says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, said the world and its desires, all these stupid, ridiculous things that we find ourselves chasing and pursuing, all these things will pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. And no doubt, if we're connected to the Father, man, we're going to live for all eternity with him in heaven. But I want to also note that maybe this is implying also that when you live according to the way God wants us to live, according to his word, that you'll live on forever through generations because of that legacy, because of that impact that you've had on people. The people that are in your life are just people that you've come into contact with. I mean, how amazing and honorable would it be that if your great, great grandchildren stood up and said, you know, our family is way different today. Way different today because our great, great grandfather and great, great grandmother, because of the way that they lived, because of the way that they loved, because they followed Christ, and because of that, our whole family is different for generations to come. That's a godly legacy. That's the power of a godly legacy. I mean, I could only hope and pray that will be said of me and my wife, that we would leave that type of legacy to our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids and beyond. That they would say, because of the way my parents lived and loved and served and followed God, that our family, our community is different. Were they perfect? No. Just ask some drivers from Texas. They'll know that I'm not perfect. If you've been coming to Life Point for any length of time, you know what I'm talking about. If not, I'm not going to tell you. But the legacy that we leave behind, I mean, how incredible would it be? How incredible would it be? I mean, I can only hope and pray that would be the case. But if you want to leave that type of legacy, you have to live how God wants you to live. There's no way around that. You have to live the way God wants you to live. I mean, life is brief, right? I mean, it's a vapor. And if today was your last day on earth, what would your legacy be? By how you're living today and how you've lived to this point, what would that legacy be? Would it be a legacy that was leading to generational change and inspiration, leading them towards Christ? Or are you sitting there thinking, man, things need to change. Need to change quick. I got to tweak some things, or I got to overhaul some things. As we close this thing out, I want you to check out the words of Paul that he spoke to Timothy. And he wrote these to Timothy, found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. He says, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. In other words, he's saying, man, my time is almost up. I'm coming to the end of my life. And then he says the words that I hope every single one of us in here will be able to say when we're at that stage in our life, or even today. Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there's in store for me a crown of righteousness. He's like, man, I've said all that God wanted me to say, right? I did what God sent me to do. And I lived in a way that God wanted me to live. I've set up that godly legacy to not only impact the world while I'm here, but to have ripple effects for generations to come. I've completed my task. I fought the good fight. I finished the race, and I've kept the faith. Man, life is so brief. We don't realize it, but it's brief. And because of that fact, today we have to begin to focus on the legacy that we're going to leave behind. Let's pray. God, we thank you. God, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your word that guides us and how to do all these things. And how to say what needs to be said and to do what you've called us to do and to be able to live in the way that you've would have us to live, God, that we can do those things because you speak to us through your word. And God, we're so thankful for that. And God, may we be a church of individuals and a body that leaves behind an incredible godly legacy. Not for our own glory, God, but for yours, for your kingdom's sake. May we leave that godly legacy. As we continue in prayer, maybe you're here today and, man, step one for you in leaving that godly legacy is to know Christ. It's to step over that line of faith. To give your life to him. And maybe you've been holding off on that for whatever reason. Whatever it may be, but you've pushed that off. Today is the day just to lay that before God. To give him your whole heart. Not just a piece of it, but just lay it down. And say, God, I need you. Scripture says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. It's about confessing and believing, confessing your sin, your flaws, your failures, all the things that you've done and all the things you will do, confessing that sin before him. And then receiving him as your Savior, that he died and rose again for you personally, to take your place on that cross. To pay the price for your failure, your sin, your shame. He took that all on himself. And for you, if you've never stepped over that line of faith, man, I challenge you. If he's leading you, don't delay it. Don't push it off. Just call on his name. Just however he leads. Just confess and believe. I promise you, it'll be the greatest decision you'll ever make. It's that first step to leading that godly legacy. And I know some of us are proud. Some of us don't want to think that we need help, right? Or that we got this on our own. I tell you, trying to do things on my own has never got me anywhere but flat on my face. In more ways than one. We need him. We're nothing without him. Be the greatest decision you've ever made. Maybe you're here today and you are a Christ follower, but when you think about legacy, you're not doing so hot. Or maybe you have some up days, some down days, some good ones and some bad ones. We need to start moving towards more good days than bad days and building that legacy. We're not going to be perfect. We're not going to be perfect. But I think that's something that's beautiful about legacy. It's to be able to leave behind that he's a godly man, a godly woman who cared about his family and loved God and made a difference. In spite of their imperfections, God used them. If you're struggling with that legacy concept, you know you got to make some changes. Begin to focus on saying the words that God wants you to say. Do what God sent you to do and live how he wants you to live. Those are great steps forward. They're going to get you on the right track and are going to make an immediate difference in your life. And people are going to notice. And hopefully that'll put you more on mission. And because of that, people are going to come to know Christ. Because, man, that's one of the things that we're all sent here to do. We're all on that mission together. If you're a Christ follower, that is your calling. That is your mission. To live out and share the gospel, the good news of the grace and the love of Jesus. That he died for you and rose again. That's your mission. Make sure we're leaving that godly legacy. Again, Lord, we thank you for loving us so much, for forgiving us of our flaws and our ridiculousness, God, and we just thank you. God, I pray for each and every person here this morning, God, that you would speak to them. That you would speak what it is that they need to hear, God. Whether it be something about legacy, whether it be that they need to accept you as their Savior and become and come to you, Lord, and lay down their everything at your feet, God. Or maybe it's something totally different, God. That's great. You're that good. You don't need me. I know that. I pray that you would just speak truth and love over every single person that's here, God. That they would do business with you and that they would be a better follower of you, God. As a result, be more on mission to reach more people. God, we love you, and in your name we pray. Amen.